pray everyone is blessed. Glad you're here today. If you're a visitor with us, let me extend another very warm welcome. Thank you for being here. Church of the Falls is striving to be a family anyone can belong to. And so we are glad you're here. We hope that you'll be encouraged in your faith and inspired. And I hope you have a great cup of coffee and make a new friend. Welcome. You know, we are an a cappella tradition, which means we typically sing without instruments. And our non-instrumental singing has always been fantastic. But you know, it's pretty special to be able to come in here and experience Jared and the Rise Band and what they're able to do with such a small fellowship. It just sounds fantastic. It's inspiring. And I hope you guys realize how blessed we are to have the talent here at Church in the Falls. It's just wonderful and love it. Anyways, we are studying from the Minor Prophets, and we have been talking about a lot of different things. We talked about Obadiah, the older brother God stands up against, the younger brother God stands up for, the Micah 6:8 brother, or sister, of course, God stands with. Remember, great power and a great control for a great purpose is humility. And in that place, we do justice, we love mercy, we walk humbly. God stands with those. We learned about how God's got this from Jonah and Nahum. We learned about in Amos how God wants us to seek Him to live. And that He's actually interested in things that we wouldn't quite realize. Worship, great and all, but that's not what He's most interested in. He wants us. He wants us to seek Him and to live. And then we've just finished up Hosea, in which God is talking a lot about His heart. We learned that God's heart is messy, that it is all over the map. He has all those extreme emotions that you have because you were made in His image. And He wants us to know that. He wants us to feel the way He feels. It's important that we understand it, and we typically don't. And so what we end up doing is going through the motions and faking it. We start looking like God instead of being like God. And the trick to being like God is to feel the way God feels. The great quote from last week, self-care is never a selfish act. It's good stewardship of the only gift we have for the world. When we take care of ourselves, we're able to love others as we love ourselves. And that means being in touch with our heart. It means being aware. We talked about awareness, how we should wear our feelings proudly. They're great information. We should know where they come from, their origin, and we need to sit with that at times and understand it's helping us understand God. And lastly, be wary of the impact of our feelings. Remember, Paul talked about how we should be angry, command, don't sin. Be angry, don't sin. Both commands, both important. To pretend not to feel strong emotion is to lie and to give the devil a foothold. So a lot of great information. Today we are going to have an introduction to Habakkuk. And it's a short little book, three chapters. And I want to give you kind of a quick overview, a way to grab a hold of it. Because it's a very interesting book, and I think one of its understandings will be really helpful for you. We're going to talk about four words. If you want to write these four words down, these are the four things we're going to spiral around today. Expectations, prayer, faith, gratitude. Expectations, prayer, faith, and gratitude. Expectations can make us ungrateful really, really quick. Think about core values. That's kind of what we expect. That's what's most important to us, our core values. Think about what is America's number one core value? Freedom, right? We have the most creative products in the world who are free to express that. We don't copycat. It's creative. There's a freedom. It's at our heart and soul as Americans. It's something that is not just something that we know of. It's something that is at our core. We expect it. How many times have you heard something like, oh, well, it's a free country. Or, nobody's going to make me do that. See, that assumes something, doesn't it? Assumes that we're free to make that choice. We're free to come in assembly on Sunday. We're free to do a lot of things. But the reality is, and the reason we celebrate Veterans Day today, is to understand that freedom, it's not really free, is it? Yet it's a core value and an expectation. And when we expect something and we don't understand it from a grateful perspective, we become very selfish. And it offends and it hurts. Like, see this little boy, this next picture here. Go ahead and hit the next slide. This little boy is receiving a flag for the death of his father. Freedom is not free, is it? Yet our expectation is that it just is. And we don't understand where it comes from. And in moments like this, we're reminded that our expectations can get us in trouble if we just assume things about it. Expectations that are not rooted in gratitude become selfish. Now, I know all of you in this room are just tickled pink with our leadership in our country. We love our president. We love all of our Congress and everything that they're doing, right? It's way too quiet. You guys can laugh at that because I know there's probably 50 opinions about every subject in here today. But I want you to imagine with me for a minute that a hypothetical prayer like this one might exist. Push play.
Dear Heavenly Father and Impeachment Jesus, Lord, we come to you today on behalf of President Donald Janky Trump, Lord, who is probably somewhere tweeting right now from a golf cart in Russia. But we need you to send down your impeachment angels to remove this flaming hot fool from the highest seat in our nation. Victory is ours today, Lord. We claim all these things in impeachment Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Funny, right? But think about this for a minute. How many times have we prayed for things, especially in government or a situation where we want it to be removed, like she said, or changed radically? What if God answered our prayers
Dear
with this?
Heavenly Father,
go ahead, next slide. This is part 4 of ISIS' plan to take over the world. Click another slide. You'll see up in the left-hand corner, there's a little red donut that'll pop up. That's Washington, D.C. What's significant about this is that if God answered our prayer to remove someone from office by sending ISIS to take over, that would be an answered prayer, wouldn't it? But we would be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. That's not what I meant. I didn't want to be taken over by, I just wanted, right? There's an expectation in there. And sometimes things go different than we expect. And it's really important to understand it. See, we always think, well, God wouldn't answer their prayers because they're praying to the wrong God. They're praying to Allah. And so therefore, we can assume that that's... But wait a minute. How many times does God use foreign nations, non-believers in Yahweh, to take down his own people? And so when we go and say, God, please remove, and then God sends ISIS to remove, we go, wait a minute, that's not right. That is Habakkuk. Let me read it for you. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 7, and verse 13. Here's how it goes. Lord, I continue to ask for help. Now let me point out one of our words, prayer. This is a private prayer between Habakkuk and God. A little different than the other prophets. He's not yelling at people, he's yelling at God, and they're talking. Lord, I continue to ask for help. When will you listen to me? I cried out to you about the violence, but you didn't do anything. People are stealing things. They're hurting others. They're arguing. They're fighting. Why do you make me look at such terrible things? The law is weak. It's not fair to people. Evil people win their fights against the good people. So the law is no longer fair and justice does not win out anymore. President Trump has said this and the Congress did that and they shouldn't have done this. And I can't believe how unfair it is. And this happened and that happened. And it's so broken, Lord. And justice is not happening. Lord, I need you to take it away. I need you to make it right. Can we relate to that? Here's what God says. I will do something in your lifetime that will amaze you. You would not believe it even if you were told about it. Now just pause a minute. We say, God, I need you to take this away, remove this, rearrange it, fix this. This is not right. And God says, I'm going to do something that will blow your mind in your generation. You're going to see this. Now, our expectation at this moment is what? Finally, Lord, right? It's about time. I'm excited. Let's do it. God continues. I will make the Babylonians a strong nation. They are cruel and they are powerful fighters. They will march across the earth. They will take houses and cities that do not belong to them. the Babylonians will do what they want to do, and they will go where they want to go. God, I need you to take this away. I need you to remove this from office. I need you to fix this injustice. And God says, all right, I'm going to do it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to blow you away. I'm going to rise up ISIS, and they're going to come in and take over everything. And all that you prayed for will be as you wish. And just like Habakkuk, we're going to go, whoa, wait a minute. Time out, Lord. That's not what I meant. Habakkuk, smart. Listen to how he appeals to the Lord. Your eyes are too good to look at evil. You're too good for this, Lord. You cannot stand to see people who are doing wrong. So why would you permit such evil? How can you watch when the wicked destroy people who are so much better than them? God, I know we're broken. I know America has got to come back to the Lord, and we are struggling, and we are broken. But God, ISIS is so much worse. How in the world could you prosper the evil over the sort of broken? That's Habakkuk. His expectations were very different than God's answer to his prayer. What do you think the prophet expected by his prayer? What vision did he have? I once heard Joe Beam preach and say, be careful what you pray for, because God might answer it, and then you'll be stuck with it. That day, I went back to my cottage. We were at a retreat, and I began to pray and ask God a question that I probably shouldn't have asked, because sure enough, by the end of the night, my entire world had changed. I decided to leave the ministry focus, the music focus that I was in at Florida State. One of the top 10 saxophone players in the world, and I'm studying with him, and I'm on a journey, and God just tore all that away. I met Julie, my almost fiance, and I'd tell her, sweetheart, I'm changing life right now. I think I need to go into ministry. I think God is calling me there. And I didn't know what to do with it. Thankfully, she was on board with that and excited. But man, there was a lot of risk going on there. I opened my mouth. I prayed and God answered, and I was stuck with it. Joe Beam was right. Habakkuk 2:2-3, listen to what God says. Write out on big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what is coming. And it will not lie. It may seem slow, but wait, it's on its way. It will come right on time. God is saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to answer your prayer. It's coming. It may seem slow. It may not be like what you're thinking, but just hang on. It's going to be right on time. There's a phrase we used to use in the neighborhood in Memphis. God may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Powerful phrase.
Hey.
I don't know what that is. What I want you to think about is this. God works in very unique and mysterious ways. God does things in ways that doesn't fit our expectations. There's a great movie from 83-84 called Karate Kid. Anybody ever see Karate Kid? There's a great scene in this where he is doing all the dirty work for Mr. Miyagi. And he finally has, I'm done with it. You're supposed to be teaching me karate here. And he comes at him, and Patrick, Mr. Miyagi, says, let me show you what I've been doing. And it's kind of a turn about what's really going on behind the scenes. Push play.
Be a man, now we made a deal here.
So
you're supposed to teach and I'm supposed to learn, remember?
You learn plenty.
I learned plenty. I learned how to sand your decks, maybe. I wash your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty, right?
Not everything is as simple. Now show me wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Show me paint a fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, Then, other side, look eye, always look eye. Show me paint the house, side, side. Lock wrist, side, 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 side. Yosh, show me wax on, wax off. That's show me paint the fence.
That's
show me side to side.
Yes, that's
incredible scene where he suddenly realizes all of this time I've been waiting. I have all these expectations and wow, I really do know a lot more than I realized I knew. Mr. Miyagi has been preparing me this whole time for this very moment. God works in a very similar way. We ask God for something and we have expectations and God will fulfill them, but he does it in a way that is often not what we expect. And we wait and we get frustrated and we're trying to be patient. And God says, I know it's not when you want it, but trust me, it's right on time. So how do we survive our misguided expectations? Got a need, and we trust he's going to say yes, and our expectations don't align with what we're experiencing. What do we do in that? The very next verse, right after the one about him being right on time, verse 4 says this. See, he's puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous, that's you and I, will live by his faith. The righteous will live by faith. One of the great passages in the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul talks about this great power. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And this gospel, the righteous will live by faith from first to last. And he quotes Habakkuk. Pivotal point of the entire power that we are here gathered to talk about today, the gospel of Jesus. And he says, the righteous will live by faith. That is the way we survive our misguided expectations. We have to lean into a trust. We have to understand who we serve. Nicholas Waltersdorf, his book, A Lament for a Son, has a really great quote about faith. Listen to this. He says, faith is a footbridge that you don't know will hold you up over the chasm until you're forced to walk out on it. It's not this image of, all right, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And you step out. It's this image of you being thrust out into something you didn't plan. Your expectations were not that. And then you find yourself and you look down and just like the Karate Kid, you're suddenly able to do something. God has been preparing you all along. Moments like that build our trust, build our faith. And we begin to live that way, begin to expand ourselves into it more and more. That's how we survive our misguided expectations, is with faith. It's interesting. I have this wonderful picture here. Isn't that just the most lovely family ever? It's beautiful, right? This is a millisecond snapshot of happiness. Anybody want to take a guess how long it took to get this millisecond snapshot of happiness? Why isn't this working? You're on the wrong side. It's too close. The shadowing's wrong. The light is wrong. The technology's not working. Will you stop touching me? I mean, all of that going on for about an hour and a half. Till finally, the millisecond happened. In a lot of ways, when we pray to God to look for that millisecond, we're looking for something and we're asking God for it. And he's saying, I am on board with it. And we're like, well, where is it? Just keep on coming. But what about just hang on? Trust me. It's coming. I got you. I got this. But there's a lot of misguided expectations along when and how it happens. Thank you. I think it's where a lot of our pain comes, because we don't understand that the way God brings it is often very different than what we need. You've always heard the phrase, don't pray for patience. Why is that? Because God's going to give it to you, and it's not going to be the way you want. He's going to make you frustrated, so you build patience. It's kind of a joke, but it's so true. Things are not always as they seem, like Mr. Miyagi said. There's always something else going on behind the scenes with God. There's a great article called The Unexpected Answers of God. I want to read some snippets from it. He starts with John 16, 23 through 24 and says, Jesus himself makes an amazing statement. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask, that's a big statement, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Just in case you weren't sure, he says it even more. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Just in case you're wondering, it's not just for kingdom work. It's so that you will have full joy. I will give it to you if you ask in Jesus' name, period. What? Okay. I need more money, Lord. Give me the winning lottery ticket. Right? I need this. I need that. I want this job. I want this opportunity. I want this person. I need this child. I need this whatever. Because God has promised me that he will give it. And the answer is still yes. But the way it comes about is different than we expect. And the goal is sometimes more in line with what we really want, and we don't even know it also. He continues with the article. We can't help but have unreal romantic imaginations and expectations. There's our word. About what God answers to our prayer will be. And therefore, we are unprepared for the answers we receive from God, because his answers frequently do not look at first like answers. They look like problems and trouble and loss and disappointment and affliction and conflict and sorrow. They cause deep soul wrestling, and they expose our sins and our doubts and our fears. They are not what we expect. And we often do not see how they correspond to our prayers at all. When God begins to answer our prayers, we often find his answers disorienting. Circumstances might take unexpected courses. Health might deteriorate. Painful relationship dynamics might develop. Financial difficulties might occur. And spiritual and emotional struggles might emerge. And they all seem unconnected. We can feel like we're going backward, because we're clearly not moving forward. And so we cry out painful confusion and exasperation like Job, when what's really happening is that God is answering our prayers, but just in a way that look and feel different than we expected. Well, what do we expect? Check this out. If we ask God for deeper love, it's a good prayer, right? He'll give us an awareness of our deep and pervasive sinful depravity. Because the Bible is very clear in Luke 7. Those who are forgiven much, love much. You want to love God more? He's going to get you in touch with why you want to be loved. And why you love him, because of the forgiveness. That's not exactly what you're asking, but it's exactly what you are asking. We ask for his kingdom to come, like we just prayed earlier. From Matthew 6. He reveals a deep spiritual poverty, because the Bible's clear that the kingdom is given to those who are poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3. If we ask God to satisfy us with himself over and against all the world and all of its muddy waters that tempt us, we become more and more aware of the evil and the suffering and the injustices of the world. Because the Bible says that those who are hungry and who are thirsty for righteousness will be satisfied. Matthew 5:6. So we pray for God's nearness. God, would you just be near to me? God will break our hearts. Psalm 34:18 says, God is near to those who are brokenhearted. If we ask God for greater wisdom and discernment, we're thinking, Solomon, I need answers now. Instead, we get a steady stream of mind-bending, confusing answers that are difficult to understand and difficult to work through, because the powers of discernment between good and evil, according to Hebrews 5:14, must be trained with constant practice. So God provides opportunity. to give you exactly what you asked for. If we ask God to increase our faith, like Luke 17:5, we should expect to repeatedly be put in situations where we discover that our perceptions are just not trustworthy. And we're forced to trust Christ's promises instead of our perception. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. What if we ask for our joy to be more full? That's exactly what Jesus said. He will give you whatever you ask so that your joy might be full. Then he will repeatedly put us in situations where we discover that our earthly joys are empty and hollow. The truck is just not doing it for us. The house is just not doing it. The money, the job, the position, the book, it's just not satisfactory. It's just, it's empty. It's meaningless, as Ecclesiastes would say. And we get to that point, we go, I don't know what to do. And then suddenly, we know the surpassing value of knowing Christ himself. Philippians 3:8. And God says, you asked for this? Mic drop. Prayer answered. But it's not the way we expected. Because quite honestly, our expectations are incorrect with the way God does things. Another reason why we should feel the way he feels and know his heart, we'll understand him much better. We do the same thing with our children. We do the same thing with relationships. We navigate them differently than maybe the expectation is. Because we know. God knows beyond that. God is with us. He loves us. So the temptation is, well, maybe we shouldn't pray for anything because I don't want to have to go down the hard road. But remember, do we want shallow joy or full joy? It's just that simple. With regard to God's answers in prayer, expect the unexpected, he says. Most of the greatest gifts and the deepest joys that God gives come wrapped in painful packages. The reality is, our expectations are often misguided. And the way to overcome that is with faith and trust. What does God expect? He expects us to pray, and then he is going to answer. That's what he expects of us. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it just defined faith as evidence of what you can't see. It's that blindness that we have, that fear of what is unknown. Without that faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. God wants us to want him, to know that we can trust him. And when we lean into that, that faith will get us through the times when our misguided expectations don't align with our prayer request. God, give me, and then we're going, why is it not happening? And God's like, he's coming, he's going to be right on time, hang on. But what about? But I trust you. That's where faith meets. I want to suggest to you today that gratitude, here's our fourth word, gratitude is a faith journey. It's a faith step. It says two things really loudly. One is, God's got this, and I know it. I am so thankful that God's got this. And two, God loves me, and God loves this world more than I ever could. Because he's good that way, and that's why I'm earnestly seeking him. He's got it, and he's better than I am, and I trust that. And I am so thankful. That's what gratitude is, a faith walk. I am so thankful for this pain in my life, because I do not like it. But somewhere along the line, I prayed for something, and I trust God will not waste that pain. I trust him, because he's good. And I know that about him. My heart feels like his heart. And I love my children. I know he loves me. Therefore, I know that the commander of the heaven's armies is not going to waste this pain. So thank you for it and what you're doing with it. Thank you for answering my prayers. Thank you for taking care of me. Gratitude is the faith walk that says God's got it and he's good. It is in that place that we can walk forward. And it helps us with our misguided expectations. This is not happening like I want, but I trust him. Think about Jesus. Would you consider Jesus to be favored or blessed? I mean, who has a pedigree and a lineage and a statement on his resume like God saying out loud, this is my son, whom I am very well pleased. That's pretty good, right? Would you consider that favored and blessed? Somebody say yes, right? Has anybody ever heard God say that about you out loud? I mean, that's pretty impressive. And here's the point. Jesus didn't do anything at that point. He's not done any miracles. He's not fasted in the desert 40 days. He's not fought Satan. He's done nothing except just be. And God says, that is my boy, and I'm proud of him. And yet, his experience is, he started as an illegitimate child. He was homeless, wifeless, fatherless. His dad dies by the cross. He's childless. He was lied about. Nothing was in him that would attract us to him. Isaiah 53, he was despised. He was rejected by the teachers, rejected by his siblings. He was judged unfairly. He died young. He was killed with criminals. He was crucified by the state as a rebel. That's what blessed looks like in God's economy. Soak that in a minute. God, I want blessings. I want favor. I want you to do great things to me. And he says, awesome. And then we're going, well, why aren't you doing that? I am. Just hang on. It's right on time. But this hurts. I know. Just hang on. But God, trust me. Jesus had the same struggle. God, if there's any other way, can we do it any other way? I don't want to go this path. And God says, no. This is the path. This is the way that I will answer your prayer to save all mankind. But if there's any other way, there's not. Then not my will, but yours. That is what faith, that is what gratitude looks like. God's got this, and he's better than I am. He knows, and he's loving, and I trust that, even though I don't like my circumstances. Hebrews 2:10 says, Jesus was made perfect through suffering. We should expect that as part of God's answer to prayer. Rachel Joy Scott, I love that Joy is in the middle of her name, was the first casualty of Columbine. She, after her death, they found this on the back of her dresser. It says, these hands belong to Rachel Joy Scott and will someday touch millions of people's hearts. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't even find it till a couple years later after she had died. This is her prayer. This is her dream as a little girl. And as she grew up, she began to say things. Go ahead and hit the next slide. Here's one of her quotes. I have this theory that if one person can go out of their way to show compassion, then we'll start a chain reaction of the same, which later became a whole program called Rachel's Challenge. Even after her death, she's impacting people all over the world. Her funeral was televised worldwide by numerous national and international TV channels. The entirety of her funeral was viewed by millions worldwide, broadcast live on CNN. And CNN grew the greatest following of numbers that day than they ever had before. And that included Princess Diana's funeral just a few years before. And they had 32 million with Princess Diana. Think about that. Her prayer was answered, wasn't it? I'm going to reach millions. These hands are going to touch the heart of millions. And God said, that is my girl, and whom I am well pleased. And yes, you will. Not exactly how she expected it, though. The one who was hurt right next to her but survived said that her last words, the shooter said, you still believe in God? To which she responded, you know I do. And he said, well, good, go be with him. And ended her in that moment. But he couldn't stop God's answer to her prayer, which rippled around the world to this day. I need you to hear this, because that's how God answers prayers. When you say, God, I need, I want, God says, absolutely. But it's going to look a little different than your expectations. And the only way to survive our misguided expectations is with gratitude. God, I trust you. I know you. So let me ask you, what are your prayer expectations? When you pray, what are you expecting? And do they involve faith? Because nothing's going to please God if it doesn't come from faith, which is a risk by definition. And how can you use gratitude as a faith walk in order to walk in those prayer requests? Gratitude is the faith expression that helps us survive our misguided prayer expectations. Let me say it again. Gratitude is the faith expression that helps us survive our misguided prayer expectations. I'm going to leave you with one passage from Philippians. If you rise, team, you can go ahead and come on up. This is the last passage here. Philippians 4, Paul says this, verse 6. Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. You see the connection there. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. It's this understanding that I trust God, and I'm going to lay it all out. I'm not going to be anxious about anything because I'm trusting Him. And He's going to answer it however He does, and when it's hard, I'm going to stick with Him. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends your understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If we want protection for our soul sick, wounded self and our hurt and our fear and our anxiety, all we have to do is lay it before the Lord and trust Him in faith. Be gratitude. Be thankful for whatever pain God brings. I know that's a tough turn, but that is what faith looks like in our walk, especially when it comes to our prayer request. In just a minute, I'm going to offer a word of prayer. I'm going to step down. We're going to sing a song and wrap up today. I want to ask you to be thinking about, what are you praying about? Where is it faith-oriented? And how can you use gratitude when things don't go like you think they ought to go? When your expectations are misguided. Let's pray together. Father, I love you and I thank you for your graciousness today. Father, I pray that your Spirit would come upon us today. Remind us of our misguided expectations. The things we pray for, and rightfully so, Lord. You want us to pray and you will answer. But sometimes we don't understand what you're doing. And God, I pray for that patience and that peace that passes all understanding. Help us, Lord, to be grateful in faith. Whenever we ask for something from you, move us in that direction today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing together.
So we pour out.
living in a constant state of gratitude. And may you set the example for this during the seasons of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.